Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Ask the Accountant, episode number 76. The date is 8th of April, 2024. We had a week off last week, but that means we're ready and raring to go with all of your favourite accounting news that we have. Today, as always, I have Jan with me. Jan, how has your 2 weeks been? Have you enjoyed a bit of chocolate, a bit of downtime? Have you enjoyed yourself?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I had a week off and I went to go and see my dad for the week. And then back to work last week and ate far too much chocolate and all the other bad things I shouldn't be eating, but such is life. So, yeah, no, good 2 weeks. How are you and how was your time off?
Yeah, it was good. Much needed. I wasn't too well, so it's good to kind of recoup the batteries and get everything up and running, ready for this week. And I've got a nice exciting week planned this week. So I am raring to go. More importantly than us being here, we've got our wonderful audience. We've got Cheryl in the building. Good morning, Cheryl. We've got Natasha here. Good morning, Natasha. We've got Paul here. Good morning, Paul. Susanna's here. Good morning, Susanna. Kirsty's here as well. And I'm sure we've got many more on their way as well. So it's great to see you. Remember, if you've got any questions, if you want to keep us honest, is there anything else that you need to tell us about the world of accountancy, tech, or anything else, then make sure to use that comment section and we'll include you in the show. The show itself, we've got some really good topics. We're going to talk about tax season 2024, HMRC's new single login, how Excel was used to run a whole F1 team, some AI stories to talk about, and then a bit of a plug at the end to push some much-needed votes to some of our members. So let's start it off with tax season 2024. It is the 8th of April, 2024. That means we're most of the way through the tax season, right? It's pretty much old news now. Like that's if this was an Apple launch event by this point, I'd tell you it was obsolete and don't bother going to buy it. So we are now X amount of days in. What is it? 5 days in? 4 days in? Great maths then. 3 days in. We're going down, aren't we? So we're 3 days into the tax season. And hopefully everyone has kind of got their plan ready and prepared. I don't know about you, Jan, but I think this is a year where we've had a lot of new ways of interacting with clients. We've had a lot of new ways of being able to streamline our accounting services. And I feel like this is the year where it's not just talk, but we're able to put that into play. Definitely for Bofix, it's been that way. What about you? How's it been for 2024 so far?
Would you like my statistics?
Go for it. Oh, go on then. Yeah. Oh.
I'm buzzing about this. So this is the power of using... All right, I'm using Client Engager, obviously. But if you can get your practice management software, whichever you're using, and if it's not Client Engager, well, it won't be this good. But, you know, we all make mistakes. It's fine. So if you're using a good practice management tool and you've got good processes and systems in place, this is where you could be. Friday morning, 10 o'clock. I went into my practice management software. I filtered to all clients that had a self-assessment enabled. Selected them all. Generate form. I've sent them I generated my self-assessment 2023-24 tax questionnaire. Send. 260 forms gone. Less than a minute it took me to do that. So they all went out 10 o'clock on Friday, right? As of this moment in time, we have 5 already filed with tax returns filed with HMRC, 6 awaiting e-signing, 2 in progress, 11 records received and ready for us to work on, and 3 where we've got part records, like the questionnaires filled out, and we're just waiting on P60s from other employment and stuff. The rest, we're just waiting on information from them, basically. That is the power of getting a process.
And that's what I've learned from
years
of getting it wrong.
Yeah. Like some years we've managed to nail the form. Yeah. Some years we've not been proactive enough earlier enough on because we were busy with other stuff. But yeah, this year, form's out. We're literally as a questionnaire comes back in completed, that gets marked as records received, so our automatic emails chasing them doesn't chase them anymore. And they are scheduled at the start of every month until September, and then it picks up pace. And then we also mark our internal deadline. So at the moment, our statutory deadline would be the 31st of January next year, so it wouldn't appear on our workload. I always set the once I receive the records, our internal standards is we turn that around within 2 weeks. So as soon as that question is completed, we go in, internal deadline, 14 days from the day records received, add that on, and then it's on our deadline board. We can't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's talking about the process of, you know, your more simple clients, most of them, right? As in the ones that you've filed so far and the ones.
Yeah, a lot of them, or their books are so well kept up to date on QuickBooks or Xero or Free Agent that actually we had their bookkeeping nailed between the 1st and the 5th of April.
Yeah.
So we were able just to go out and do what we needed to do for them. Interestingly, some of the ones that are like, oh, they've been in touch in March, I want you to do this as soon as possible, blah, blah, blah. It's like, cool, we're going to send you this on this date. Here's the timetable. Not done anything really yet. And it's like, cool, you guys do you. It's fine. But yeah, like, it doesn't matter what practice management software you're using. If you can get a system and a process in place and plan it out, yeah, it's going to take so much strain off you.
Yeah. And the reason I was bringing up those simple ones is that exact point, right? Like the idea that at the moment, majority of us have access to cloud accounting. And we stop remembering how powerful that actually is.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes almost second nature, right? If you're going to bring on a new client, you're going to give them a piece of software. I would imagine, especially people listening to this podcast, a lot of people will be 100%, maybe 90% of them is going to be cloud-based. And it just makes things so much easier. And like you said, that opportunity to go in and be able to nail the fact that you go in, get that information done, and you're off to the races. I still feel like this is the year where we need to push back at the QuickBooks of the world, Xero of the world, Free Agent of the world, all of those ones. We still need that internal checklist, an opportunity to communicate with the client in one way or another, right? Yes, mm-hmm. We can fall back on Client Engager and any other solution. We could build our own checklist and we could use that to go there. But still the idea that you send a checklist that they built, they do inside their own thing, you know, just to let us know it's ready. If they can tell us that, yeah, or, you know, bank's been reconciled and, yeah, well, I'm happy with the debtors and, yes, I'm happy with them. And just if we can have that interaction with them, I feel like that's the missing bit at the moment, isn't it? We've literally nailed practice management. Like, okay, there's more to be done, but like, you've already proved it. And Susanna said here as well, look, literally doing mine on Client Engage and I'm listening, done. That's how long it takes. So the communication with the client and having the right tool there and having something like Client Engager to push that forward, we've nailed. And yes, there'll be iterations that will get improved over time and everything else.
Yeah.
I still feel like the one thing, yes, cloud accounting is huge and revolutionary, but we're still at the preface of just being able to have that interaction with our client a little bit more. Clients chosen us as their business advisor, accountants, bookkeeper, whatever we want to call ourselves, right? They need our assistance to do that. And I think we just need a little bit of a tool to help us. And I know there's things like Xenon around and items like that, those third parties that we can add in and do from there that gives us a nice little, oh, you know, that's a good, you know, that works well, or that doesn't work well, or however it's going to be. But I really do feel like the next step and the next opportunity for us is we need to be pushing those solutions just to give us something so we can go, right, you year end's just gone, here's a checklist, go off and get that checklist done and go through from there. And I feel like if we can just nail that bit, yeah, we'll be there. Do you think is that Intuit Assist AI, is that what they're going to push from there, or do you think we still need to build something tangible?
I suppose it depends what you want that checklist to achieve. I mean, do you want your clients to be checking that they've uploaded all their receipts, or do you just want to go and then you find actually no, they haven't, even they've told you they have, and then, or are you just better off sending them a list, for example? So for our year-end accounts, the first thing we go in and do is we go in, look at Xenon, look at the health score. Cool, we're happy with that. And then we export the CSV file at a click of a button going, right, these are all of your old bills. These are all of your old invoices that technically haven't paid or been paid. Send them to the client and say, right, just sense check those for us. Like, obviously, we'll do a sense check throughout the year, but year-end, right, just sense check those. Make sure they're right. Make sure you agree with them. And some of them come back, oh, yeah, I wrote that invoice off. That person's disappeared. I forgot to tell you about that. Yeah. Whatever the, you know, or that item didn't work, so I never paid that bill. I just sent it back. And it's like, cool, you never told us that. And they're like, no, I didn't. That's fine, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, there's a lot of tools out there. I suppose the question is, how do we make that one tool? That's the dream, isn't it? Like, you know, it's interesting. The whole market, if you look at, say, Bright, for example, they're trying to do this whole ecosystem. QuickBooks, Xero, they're all trying to do their old ecosystems. But, and, you know, even Client Engager, to a certain degree, is trying to build an ecosystem with APIs and stuff and power as much as we can. But then you've still got your new businesses out there that are starting up with, like, I'm just going to do this little bit. It's like, doesn't really matter how good you get that little bit. It's still a standalone tool when actually you want as much under one roof as you can get. So, yeah, I don't know who needs to do that for.
I mean, Client Engager and other practice management solutions, they're not as good, but they do. They give you the tools to do it, right? Like, yeah. Client Engager gives you every tool you need to go and build that process, and you can build it. It's just at the moment, you've got to decide as a practice. I mean, you don't have a choice at this point in time, but at the moment, you've got to decide a practice. Is it worth extracting the information from one platform to put it into another to then go and send it over to the client to then go back to that platform to fix it? Or wouldn't it be lovely if we could just have that all in one place that we could then, you know, when we send the link to the client to say, can you check these debtors, instead of it being an Excel spreadsheet or a PDF or whatever it's going to be, it is literally us sending them to the place in QuickBooks that hopefully they know and love, and or at least they're familiar with, right? In terms of, yeah, no, I'm agree, and they can agree it there and there. Do you know what I mean? It's that I'm asking for a lot here, and it's going to take a long time for that to be a fruition. But the idea that we're not asking them to fill out a form or anything else, we're sending them to the place in QuickBooks that they should, or Free Agent or Xero, whatever. And I feel like whoever gets that bit first, I feel like it's going to have a big competitive advantage. And yeah. I just feel like we're so far ahead as we were when we were sat there waiting for clients to send us a desktop update, or, you know, and a file, and we had to
carry a bag drop off.
Yeah, exactly. So we're so far ahead of that, but I still feel like there's that little bit of, we just need that little bit of help here to deliver a real kick-ass service for our clients, a really up our game in terms of being able to do it. Because like you said, like, those like numbers are so impressive, but how much more impressive would they be if you could have just gone, right, I'm happy with 50% of my clients now, you know, they're doing their own bookkeeping anyway, or they want to do their own because they're looking after costs and everything else. If we can push them to get that over the line, it's going to help us, isn't it? So yeah, let's see how it evolves going forward. But it's great to see that we've got learnings, tools and everything else for, hopefully this is a year where we kind of, it's not all just, you know, us saying it's going to be, you know, we're going to have a really cleaner year, but this is a hopefully year where we get to show that, and we get to put all that into thing. And I really do feel like that's where items like Client Engager and other solutions that we've been looking at lately, where, because it's been built by an accounting firm, Linebooks is a great example, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're finding pain points and they're going, this is the pain point we had last tax year. And you know what? I'm not going to live with that anymore. Here's a solution for it. And they've rolled that solution. That's where the power of it comes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think a lot of people in the accounting and bookkeeping world will sit there and go, oh, well, why can't we just have this link? Like, why can't Client Engager just link to TaxCalc? Now, that would be incredible. But it also takes two to tango, as I keep reminding everyone. Like, we can want to do it all we want, but if that person's not prepared to get on the dance floor with us, then we can't do anything. So, yes, we would love to be able to push, you know, for clients to go into their client portal, told they need to check this debtors list or whatever it is. They click on that and that takes them into QuickBooks, etc. That'd be incredible. The problem is no one's APIs allow for that at the moment. They've got it all behind a paywall. You know, we would love for us to be able to go, client goes into a client portal, sees an Excel spreadsheet and can annotate and edit it there and then. But again, Microsoft have got that behind a huge paywall. like a phenomenally powerful paywall, because they just want that to be part of the OneDrive product.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we need to learn to collaborate. Like, you know, there's no point in having an API link to someone as a token gesture and just for marketing. Like, that's why we've got such a deep link with Xamarin, for example, because we want that to be actually adding value, not just a marketing gimmick. Mm. You know, like, we're looking at Xenon, and that's going to be one of the most powerful APIs on the market, in our opinion. You look at QuickBooks and Xero, and the fact that you can sync client data and pull in invoices and stuff like that. It's milliseconds or seconds that it saves, but it's really helpful. We just need everyone to have a bit more of an open mind towards the powers of working together.
Yeah, completely agree. And a lot of it, though, is a case of they've obviously got a future where they're going to offer a similar solution. And why would they want to cannibalize their own sale of a particular product? That's some of the pain points, right? Yeah. I imagine, you know, I don't know TaxCalc enough, but I imagine TaxCalc is sat there going, yeah, that sounds amazing. But if we do offer that, then who's going to buy our practice management solution then? Because why wouldn't they go and buy, you know,
or their e-signing envelopes?
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like that's where the likes of Bright have got the advantage, right? Because they own the ecosystem, because they have all of it, they can, you know, build this arc, then hope everyone's going to come to it. Now, we all know that that takes time, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, there's going to be a lot of pain points to get to there. And even when they own every part of the pie, they're still having difficulties. So if they're having difficulties for the rest of the world, it's going to take time to get there. But I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but the solution shouldn't be that we're waiting for the TaxCalc or KPM or any accounts production software. Really, the solution should be coming directly from HMRC, isn't it? Like, that's where Companies House has a bit of an advantage. There is an API there, and you can say if it's been submitted or not. Yeah. HMRC should be providing that to us, shouldn't they? I mean, that's realistically what they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with HMRC and Companies House is they're delivering a minimum viable product because they don't want to invest too much into it. Like, as long as they can get the accounts data in and stuff, then what else do they want? They don't care about the rest. But when you then look at someone like Xama, who are doing some really incredible things with Companies House data because they're accessing the API and getting complete value out of it, where most people just do a token API connection, like, more can be done. The problem is, the software vendors, they generally have to justify the expense of the development. And how do we make a return on investment if we do this? Actually, it's just a nice to have. It's not like, for example, importing persons of significant control.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really nice for the accounting and bookkeeping firm owners, especially for their from their point of view of AML and stuff like that. But so why has no one done it? Well, actually, it's quite a lot of effort to build into the API part. And they don't, you know, well, you can already pull your directors in. Why, like, you're not going to sign up with us because we can pull in persons of significant control as well compared to our competitors, apparently, is their mindset. But yeah, like, there's a lot of things out there that could be done if time and resource was put into the APIs that's already out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's, you know, the products that are doing this well are the ones that are run by accountants and bookkeepers, because they understand the pain points and the tangible benefits, whereas a software developer or a company running a software with no one coming from practice doesn't really understand those small tangible benefits and can't put a value on it.
Yeah, no. But we still should be pushing back at HMRC, right? Like, they're,
oh, yeah,
we can talk about it in a minute. They're investing in their infrastructure, they're putting, but they just don't seem to want to give the tools for advisors to go and actually deliver the service that they want us to deliver, because ultimately they want to close down telephone. That's what we were talking about last time, right? They want to close down telephone numbers. They want to push that. They want to get rid of that cost to them and push that cost onto us advisors. And for the majority of it, we're happy to do most of it. Like, that gives us an existence, right? That gives us a reason to be around. But if we don't have the tools to be able to deliver that properly, that's when it starts falling apart, right? And if we just knew that, you know, we click a button and we can see, here are my clients, here are the ones that still have to file, here are the ones that don't, and it's not a manual process, it's an API link that's telling us that, surely that's better for everyone. Like HMRC, the client, us, like, doesn't everyone win from that? And I feel like that's what we've got to just keep pushing for and keep pushing back on, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And, but yeah, the problem is how long it takes these guys to build any of this stuff, and it'll be outdated by the time they do.
But it should already be built, right? Like, like long-term, if they were building the and putting billions of pounds into these infrastructures and these systems, that long-term thought, that's where they need to have that, you know, the foresight to put it in there, right? What people saying, Paul says, got a full diary of accounts drop-offs. Client engager questionnaires 30% filled in. New staff completed QB training and ready to go. Quality training as well. Let's not say anything else to that. Great start to tax year. Great one, Paul. That's exactly what we want to hear. But I feel like positivity. And I mean, Paul was one of the ones who got the worst end of the stick this time in 31st January, right? Like we were sat there going, oh, it's a bit rough, isn't it? We got X amount. And then Paul was turning up with still hundreds or whatever the number was that he still had to do. So if he's having a good start to the year, that's what I want to see. But yeah, and hopefully he can convince his clients and have a better mindset with them. And with the right tech and the right prompts and the right push and everything else, then that's how you start changing it, right? It is sending out the questionnaires early. It is sending all that. Like, we can blame the clients as much as we want, but unless we actually do something different, if we change the wheel, then that's how we start helping our clients, isn't it, going forward?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about HMRC updating their system. So they've sat there and they've told us that that they can't do X, Y, Z and everything else, but they are now looking to roll out government gateway replacements, which scares the bejeebus out of us all. But hopefully this means that there's going to be an opportunity to come in with a better solution. So from May 2024, HMRC will become one of the first government departments to implement a new gov.uk one login service. It goes on to talk about how there's an opportunity here for us to be able to have a one login service to rule them all, so a client can finally go in and go through from there. Hopefully it gets around some of the two-factor authentication issues that peak clients have got at the moment. Say, for example, we set up a limited company for them, then they have to go through a rigmarole of getting set up, all that. Hopefully this will eliminate that. And I mean, they don't say it in here, but hopefully, fingers crossed, this isn't just one login for just personal, but this is for if they've got companies connected to it as well, have one login, they can go in and service all of them at the same time. Because at the moment, it's a bit of a nightmare for clients, right? They need a whole system just to keep all their user logins and credentials and everything else and go through from there. And if they're having this new login account for users, then is that positive that as agents we're going to get a better solution as well, and we're going to have an opportunity to have more functionality when we do log into our new portal going forward? What's your thoughts on it, John?
So I don't think this is going to change anything to do with our functionality. I mean, we've been told to not expect agents or businesses to get this new single login until end of 25, start 26 at the earliest. They reckon it's a 3-year project. This year will be individuals. So they will be able to have this single login, which my understanding means basically they can go in and do their passport, their driving license, their self-assessment, their child tax benefits, any other benefits, etc., from one login. Makes complete sense to me. Not really sure why they ever thought of doing multiple logins, but hey ho. I think if we're wanting more functionality, we're not going to get anything like that until MTD comes through for ITSA and companies' accounts and stuff like that. That's where functionality will come in, is my understanding.
Defeats the whole purpose of building a whole new system, right? Like, yes, we want feature parity first and foremost, but to entice us on, to give us a reason, surely they want to dangle some sort of carrot to make it worthwhile. Because all it's going to cause is people are going to get frustrated about new this, knew that having to go through. And the worst case is if people lose out on benefits or something because they, you know, they were used to using the old system, they can't figure out the new system. That's the pain points that they're going to get, right? So,
yeah,
but yeah, we'll see how it goes forward. At least, though, this should give us an opportunity to be able to, you would have thought, streamline the 64.8 process. Like, that's what they're trying to do, right? They want to make it so it's easier. I know at the moment, especially with the VAT, now that we don't have that old way of doing it to fall back on, where we can send a code through the post, the code comes through and off to the races. People are having to have the logins. They've been forced down it more and more and more.
I'm hoping with the single login feature that they're going to overcome some of the slight obstacles in setting up and reaccessing. Right. Like, you know, the fact that you've not got a UK passport means you can't actually get a blooming login. Like, I've got a client who's VAT registered, can't find his bleeding login details anywhere. And they're saying, well, we need you to prove your ID. So, cool. Okay. I don't drive. I've got a passport. But he's also from Poland. So it's a Polish passport. Oh, no, we can only handle UK passports. So that, you know, we're a multinational country, right? HMRC? There's going to be more than a UK passport out there. So, yeah, I'm hoping. That's the bit I'm hoping that they're going to actually nail, is they're going to have this single login that will have the ability to handle the community that we have in the UK with the multicultures and multinational statuses, because it can't at the moment.
Yeah. And at the moment, if you have a client who is close to that VAT threshold or VAT deadline, then we're having to put a hand up and go, if you haven't got that access to that login details, we can't help you. Like, there's nothing we can do. Like, and it just, yeah, at least before, I suppose we still had to wait for the post to come through, but in a week, we'll have this sorted. Like, there was it was a time frame we could put a flag in and say, look, our experience takes just under a week. You get a code, you pass that code straight to us, we're off to the races. Now it's, well, we'll help you as much as we can to get you this login credentials and get you passed as much as we can, but we can only do so much because it's, you know, ultimately it's your login. You've got to get that sorted, and you know, we can give you a bit of guidance, but as far as it is. And then the time it takes to get that activated and off to the races, who knows? Like, don't know, no idea. Like, you know, we don't have that confidence now to say it was a week or whatever the time frame is going to be. I feel like that's where we've taken a step back. If they've got that login credential, it's like perfect, right? We can be 64.8'd in a matter of seconds if we need to.
It does also still require them to remember their login details.
It does. It does. And for us, we also need to remember their VAT number each time. And there's a whole raft of issues where it prevents us from doing what we want to do, right? Like, which is ultimately help the client. But at least once they're in there, the actual 64.8 process is more smooth. It is a lot more, you know, if all the ducks are in the right row, we've actually got a better experience at getting someone 64.8'd, you know, not having to waste a letter, for example, having to go through the post and all that sort of stuff, right? But we're having to rely on those ducks to be in a row, and there's no fallback now. And that's where having a one login system here, my fear is those pain points we've seen at just the VAT side of things are just going to go even worse, isn't it? And there's going to be even more pain points for people. But yeah, unless having one login means that they can somehow connect like corporate VAT to it somehow. Like, if they can get around that, and it's like almost like an agent access to your personal one.
But I think that's the long-term plan, but I think that's 3 years in the making from what I understand.
Would they be allowed to do that though? Like, if it's a limited company, that's like, obviously from our point of view, that'd be great. Or from the client's point of view, that'd be great. But I wonder if they, you know, it's too much of a GDPR or whatever the some other corporate body will get involved and say, no, we're not allowed to do that. But like you said, that would be the dream, right? One login as a client, you go in, you can have access to all your different companies, all, you know, everything's there under one login. That'll be the dream. Is that going to be reality?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there we are. There we are. HMRC for you, eh? And to be fair, if they made it nice and simple for us, we wouldn't have a show. So maybe we should be grateful that they...
We should be grateful for the content they give us.
Exactly. Ashley's in the room. Good morning, Ashley. Hope you're doing. Are you gearing up for counters? Of course we are. In fact, this weekend, I finalised some of the gear that we're going to need to deliver the content. So I'm super excited for Countex. I'm very, very much looking forward to getting there and getting on with it. Yeah, and you've put an extra part into our show notes. Do you want to take this bit? Because if I'm honest, I don't know what you mean.
Well, so as accountants and bookkeepers in the know, we know there's some changes coming to Companies House.
There is.
Where the publication of profit and loss accounts for small businesses will now be made public. Now, there's a lot of people out there saying, this is dangerous. Like, do I want my employees to see how much I'm taking out of the business? Do I want my competition to see how well we are and aren't doing?
Yeah.
So there's a lot and lot of concern.
Gross profit margins.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern in the small business world about this. I can't remember when this is due to come in off the top of my head.
But it was supposed to be 2026, wasn't it? Wasn't that one of the dates?
Something like that, yeah. But there is currently a petition going around doing this. Yeah, I can't type. I've typed partition, but there's currently a petition going around that Sarah from Fruitful Accounting has started. It's a UK government petition where once you get X amount of signatures, the government has to respond.
Brilliant.
And then you get X amount more and the government, it will be considered for debate. So what I would say is if you've got any clients who are worried about this and they're not really sure how to express that concern, you've got two options. One is A, sign this petition, because that's going to start building up some steam and momentum. But B, that I spoke to my local MP about this. He has a small business of his own. He is equally worried about this. And his advice is for anyone who wants to speak to their MPs or their clients wants to speak and express concerns, the only way the government will start to deal with this is if enough MPs start to raise it. So write to your MPs, speak to your MPs, and sign this petition if you do not want your, if you don't think this change in rules is right for you. I won't say whether it's right or wrong. That's not our job. Each person can make their own verdict. But up until now, there's been little way of expressing that concern because the consultation has been and gone and doesn't seem to have changed anything. But these consultations never generally do. So unless the media suddenly get involved the day before this is due to come out and that they U-turn again, that would be my advice. There's a petition now going around on social media. And you can find it on the official petitions website. But also speak to your MPs, write to them, in fact, is better because then they've got written evidence they can submit to the government. But yeah, that was just an update on that. More and more people find out about it, there's more and more concerns and nerves. And I've had several conversations where clients are going, the tax benefits of being limited now are so small, I might go into a partnership or I might go into a sole trader.
Yeah.
But then my concern there is for them is like insurance claims and stuff like that. Like there's a legal level of protection from a limited company as a separate legal entity. So we don't want to advise necessarily sole trader and direct partnerships as the best return, a best option, not necessarily from a tax point of view, but also from a personal protection point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've got clients and stuff, there is now two options out there for you to start pushing back on this change if you want to.
Yeah, and we definitely
public service announcement done.
We definitely don't want more LLPs out there either. So yeah, we don't want to be pushing for that. I'll also just wade in and say that, you know, I was naive enough to think that my accounting governing body would support us and help us on this fight. How wrong was I? But enough of that. Yeah, we probably.
You thought they actually did things when you paid them for your membership, did you?
Absolutely fuming about it. Absolutely fuming. From their point of view, is like, well, you know, why would we care? Like, Yes, they tried to do it, but yeah.
Doesn't that just show you how out of touch these governing bodies are, and they're just focused on policing AML instead?
Yep, it's very much a frustration at the moment. Okay, cool. Yeah, frustrating. But yeah, I think at least there is a petition out there. Yep. Wasn't aware of it, so it's great to see that that's there. And yeah, we'll try and get links out as, if we can, and you make your own informed decision if you want to get your client to sign it or if you support it. I mean, if you support this, fair play to you, you know? Yeah, that's there are some benefits out there, right? Like
the, no action required, because like, it's going to happen at this rate. But yeah. Yeah,
there are some people who see the benefit of it. You know, we have more transparency. It'll be better for lending criteria and all that sort of stuff. I get it, right? And maybe we do need to open up a little bit more, maybe. But as it goes at this moment in time, yeah, if we just go by the letter of law, it seems like it's going to be doing more harm than good. All right, then. So our next topic is more harm than good. What if you had a successful Formula One team, or at least a Formula One team that you are turning around and starting to really see some fruits of your labor, really push into the boundaries and taking it to, you know, some of the, which is a very competitive area. And then it found out that you spend, or your whole system is run on Microsoft Excel. Now, before we go any further here, at FAB, there was a debate. And at FAB, there was a debate of Microsoft Excel versus everything else, basically
the world.
And during that debate, I was very upset to find that Microsoft Excel didn't get a single like proper punch at it, because I'll be honest,
it was too friendly.
I don't think the people that were involved were that necessarily all that excited about helping Excel. They were, you know, they saw the benefit of it, but they were still like, they were cloud like through and through, right? Fair enough. But I am still one of those people who will defend Excel to its core. There's been some huge updates to Excel this past month, right? The way that you can now do some things, there's new functionality called Snap, and there's all sorts of things that we could talk about, right? Excel itself, in the right, if you can get to that point of knowing it inside and out, is an amazing tool. And it's a tool at any point, right? It's a great tool to use. I'm one of the biggest defenders Excel will ever have. The idea of running a whole Formula One team and managing 20,000 car parts on Excel does scare me. and for
they're
you,
not
right?
Cheap car parts either.
No. And for you, right? One of the biggest things we always hear, isn't it? Like the biggest threat to practice management solutions will always be Excel. Like Excel is the biggest threat.
34% of our user base still has come from Excel.
Yeah, exactly. And Excel still has its place. But in Formula One, 20,000 things. And this is also the same team that currently weren't able to put two racing cars on the track because they didn't have enough parts to be able to fix.
With a tight over a number for the chassis not to be having it.
Exactly. So it's scary, isn't it? Even at the top there, even like the pinnacle of technology, the pinnacle of motorsport, like, this isn't a cost thing. This is a, I suppose, what they're used to, maybe a comfort thing.
No changes. Like,
yeah.
Who was the Sam? What's his name? Who's just been put away for 25 years in the US for fraud?
Oh, who was using QuickBooks?
Yeah,
online.
Using QuickBooks online for a multi-billion-pound crypto company. It's like, I mean, at least it's not Excel, but it's not fit for purpose. Even QuickBooks
could have been using QuickBooks Advanced. Yeah.
He didn't even use Advanced, did he?
Self-employed, I heard.
Yeah. But yeah, you just think, come on, guys, you've got to have the right job, right kit for the job. Like, you wouldn't turn up and put tires from a 1980s car onto that new F1 car, mainly because you've only got one chassis to put the tires on, so you've got spares from the other car that doesn't need wheels anymore. But you know, yeah, like, just, it just screams, doesn't it? Like, you've got to make sure you've got the right tools for the job. Is it fit for purpose?
Yeah.
Now, 100%. For your client who is a sole trader who just does marketplaces once a month and sells arts and crafts or something, then yeah, okay, Excel's probably all right for them. from multi-million pound F1 racing team to manage their stock on a, yeah, that's just.
But even your point about a small marketplace or any of them, right? Yeah, Excel is a tool that can work for them and is, you know, low cost and everything else. But arguably, for the cost of, I mean, Zero Go's gone now, right? RIP.
Going, gone.
But, you know, there's still an opportunity there for the time saving of having a piece of software, you know. And there are software out there that is free of charge that they could use, right? Even at that small, you know, marketplace or dog groom or, you know, your smallest small clients, there's still a benefit. We've just talked about it, right? The idea of having a cloud-based solution means so much easier for us to deliver services for our clients, means it's so much easier to do that. Most of the services will then help them complete their tax returns, you know, even at that level, even at the smallest, tiny, microscopic gig mentality level, there's still an argument that a couple of quid a month is worthwhile investment because it's going to save them, it can be more accurate for them, it's going to be, you know.
The challenge you've got is that mindset of, like, because it's saving time, right? That's the benefit. That means you need to quantify a value that your time's worth. And when that person sat doing QuickBooks or doing their Excel spreadsheet on their laptop or iPad while their wife sat watching crap on TV, how do they, that's free time for them. Like, how do they quantify that? They can't put a value on that time. Because otherwise they'd have to watch crap TV. Like, so, and they, at which point they go, well, I can either sit and have a distraction from neighbors for 15 minutes on a spreadsheet, or I can have to find another distraction for 15 minutes because QuickBooks have made it really efficient for me.
So you've heard it here.
£10 a month.
So you've heard it here first. The only reason Client Engager has got so many new features because someone wants a distraction from neighbors. Okay, moving on. But yeah, I mean, this whole story, 14 million to 16 million pound each for each individual F1 car. And it's all run on Excel. So maybe they need to
imagine how good that car could be if they spent all that money they're spending on the people managing the Excel spreadsheet, but they actually spent it on the car.
Yeah, or if they had a solution that meant they could go to a race and actually have two cars racing, not just one. Paid for itself, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure the people who were putting, you know, the sponsors were too happy about the fact that they went from two cars to one car in a race weekend. I imagine that's been quite a hit to their bottom line. You'd imagine, right? You'd imagine that's going to be a thing. So surely, having a right solution in there so that they could just be able to do that.
Was Microsoft one of their sponsors?
No, not at all.
If McLaren turned around and said, oh, well, we manage our stock and our parts on
Google Sheets. Yeah.
I mean, you get it because they're sponsored by Chrome, so you kind of go, that makes sense.
I'm sure they'd have built them a special version of Google Sheets. Yeah. A bit more advanced, but yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I mean, they're sponsored by Duracell, so yeah, I don't know what solutions they could muster up, but yeah. But if they could speak just to the right person, maybe they want to listen to the podcast. We'll have them on. We'll have James Vowell on to We Have Cool Friends. We'll have a chat to him and say, look, you know, even Client Engager could help him in some situations, right? Like,
you and I just go in and do a bit of consultation work.
Exactly.
We're very, very affordable. We only want pit access at Silverstone, don't we? We're not.
As long as they don't need us to talk about fixed asset registers in QuickBooks, we'll be all right. Because that's, that could be a bit embarrassing, right? That's where you get NetTracker. Okay, so enough plugs up there. Just what was people said? Sue's turned up late today. So, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know how many times we'll have to say this, but, you know, you're on thin ice at this moment, so you're on thin ice. Great to see you. Oh, Sarah's put the link in. Thank you, Sarah. Brilliant. So if people can pass that around and put your 2 cents that would be fantastic. Amy says that, or Kirsty says that Amy did a survey of bookkeepers, and they said Excel was their favourite software. Again.
Excuse me while I go and vomit.
Excel is an amazing piece of software, and there are some really good things coming out, trust me. Like, yeah, it's going to be revolutionary for some of the stuff we need
in the
it
1960s.
You're still thinking of an if statement. We've gone past if statement now. We're on switch statements. We're on snap statement, snap things. Like, there are still things there, but
I use software, so I don't have to think about those things.
but if it's still their favorite software, I mean, it'd be interesting to know what it was their favorite software for, right? So if it's still working papers, I mean, we fight it day in, day out, but there's still an argument that Excel's still best in product to that at this point in time. But
especially
keeping or something, that's where it gets scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially when you look at what's on the market for working papers. And it's only in the last year there's really been a viable working papers tool in the form of QuickBooks Working Papers targeted at accountants and bookkeepers with smaller businesses and smaller clients. Like, because the working paper tools that were software and based and out there were really just targeting the big boys and the auditing and stuff. They weren't interested in that smaller end workflow. So I get why Excel's used there, but no.
And we will fight that fight, and that's for another discussion.
I will stand at the ICB conference and just go, "You're wrong." Anyone that tries to argue with me about spreadsheets, I'll just go, you're wrong. I don't have to defend it. You're just wrong.
There we have it. Finally, we might be able to have a debate of Excel versus not Excel. It's Aaron versus Yara. This could be the end of us, the accountant, going forward. Victoria's turned up. Good morning, Victoria. Hope you are doing well. Paul says, or make the wife do it while you go to the pub. I mean,
I wouldn't make it to the pub. I'd be dead.
Yeah. Sue says, smiles about the fact that she's on a thing. I don't think it's a laughing matter, Sue, if I'm completely honest. Don't think you're taking this seriously. Lots of accountants I see using VT, which is an Excel pub. Well, it's just basically Excel VT. So, yeah. Yeah, don't get me started on VT. And bookkeepers too. Yeah. And to be fair, even QuickBooks has a fancy spreadsheet sync tool going forward.
Think it's right, just because it's them pandering to the market, which is wrong.
Exactly right. Okay, speaking of Excel and making Excel even better, what about if you were to add a functionality to Excel to actually make it better? AI. So I have been playing around with and trying to find a competitor, if you like, to Johan's amazing review of, what was it called again? The Plaid. So if you haven't, go and watch the review of that one. And you keep doing updates as well, don't you? Like, updates.
I need to do another one, actually. I'll probably do that this weekend, actually, because it has been 2 or 3 months since I got this, and it is still blows my mind on a weekly basis.
So for those who don't know, I go ahead and I do a lot of recommendations to Johan about do this, take this, put this on, everything else. And if I'm completely honest, majority of the time, he waits to someone else to tell him about it, and then he goes and puts it in.
It's like when you go and get free, go and get a quote for building work, right? You go and get free, don't you? Free recommendations.
Yeah, basically, if my recommendation to get quantified, it doesn't happen. He's pushing for the Plaid solution, and I definitely think it's got some merit to it. But I thought, well, there's got to be others on the market, so I opted to jump for Microsoft Copilot, which isn't a cheap solution, and I don't know if I would highly recommend people going in there. But I jumped in and I went for a solution to go through that, because for me, what I would like is, just like Jan's got there with his solution, is the ability to be able to make it so that when we do meetings and everything else, we can have that wonderful way of being able to quickly and easily take notes, grab those notes, put it into something that's going to be worthwhile, push it from there. That's what my requirement was. And if you look at the Microsoft Copilot, which is the Microsoft AI solution, basically, they're paid for one, and you look at what it can do. If you look at the glossy paper, like leaflet that they send out or ad that they put out there, the idea is that it replaces literally 90% of your workforce, right? The idea would be that you would have this piece of solution, click a button, and you don't need staff going forward. That's how they've sold it to me, right? Clearly, that's not how it works, but that's what they've sold it to me. But the idea of having it in the Microsoft ecosystem, especially if you're working in it, means that it can kind of have access to a lot more than just your meetings. So we do every meeting possible on Microsoft Teams. Makes sense for us to be able to grab that information and be able to use that. So that was one tick. We use Microsoft Excel. So we have the opportunity to go in there and push through there. We have access to Microsoft Word and everything else and Teams and all that sort of stuff. So having something to power that ecosystem felt like the right thing to do. Now, I'm debating to do a whole video on this or not. I'm not sure I have enough to do a video on, if I'm completely honest. But let's just say that what they're selling to us as a, you know, solution that's going to rule the world and everything else isn't quite a reality at this point in time. So much so that actually I don't see any value in paying for this solution at this point. Bear in mind, it wasn't cheap, and you have to pay annually as well. So £295 for access to this solution
per person
per year. To say I was disappointed is an understatement. Now, this is beta software. It's going to get better in time. We're going to build it from there. I think the reason I wanted to talk about this is...
I'm just going to interrupt here and say HMRC said this is beta. It's going to get better. We're still waiting for it to get better.
Exactly right. Is this for us to take a bit of a reality check pill? Should we tamper our expectations of what AI is going to do out the gate? Yes, at one point it's going to be revolutionary, and we're going to all see the benefit of it. But for early adopters, should we really just taper our experience? What do you think? I mean, you're at the forefront of it, right? You've jumped in head first and you're getting benefits out of it already. But is it that only place you're getting the benefits from?
Here's my question to you. Is it flawed because of what it's looking at to get the data from? Like, could Copilot do a better job if it was plugged into QuickBooks than a spreadsheet?
Potentially, but it's looking at the same data, right?
So
I've already done the whole, let's put it, let's say QuickBooks has a fancy spreadsheet sync feature, yep. Right? So I connected my spreadsheet, I downloaded my P&L, and I asked Copilot, give me some insights, talk to me. Like, here is a P&L account here. I haven't got a clue. And that's not its strengths, right? But that's what it's telling us its strengths are. Yep. It's telling us that... You pass it data, it can give you analysis of it. That's what it's telling us it's going to do.
I do think we probably need to put a pin in fairness to Copilot.
Yeah.
We probably need to put a pin in this conversation until Intuit Assist goes live in the UK.
I agree. Because... But what should our expectations be at that?
But because the reason I want to do that is do a comparison, right?
Yeah.
Let's use that magical Excel sync tool. Let's put that profit and loss data into an Excel spreadsheet, ask Copilot and Intuit Assist the same question, and see what comes back.
True. Which one's been designed to look at it properly? Yeah.
But because Intuit Assist won't just see you spent £10,000 here this year, it will see all the background data.
Okay.
Does Copilot see that in Excel? Probably not, because you've only pulled through the top layer of data.
So another bit that I feel like it should be able to do, looking at the Excel thing, is we present it with data that's not right for a particular format. So my example was, here's a PayPal extract, and here's the extract I need it to be in. Convert one to the other. Now, I've spent many an hour and many a thing. I've got spreadsheet after spreadsheet of converting these solutions from X to Y. Like, I've built a career around it, right? But again, the AI is supposed to be able to go, oh, okay, let's be able to do that for you. Not a chance. Again, maybe in a couple of years' time, it might be able to get close. But at this point in time, it's getting nowhere near that. But that's one of the things it's telling us. That's what it can do, because it's AI. It can look at all this data, quickly analyze it for you, and churn it out into what it is.
What we're saying is Microsoft is currently doing what a lot of accounting softwares and practice management softwares, et cetera, have done for the last few years in the accounting space, of selling a dream.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And this, people, is why you test things or you listen to people like us before you go out and spend money.
That's it.
We'll tell you if it actually does what it says on the tin.
And maybe there's an argument here that we could do a comparison one day of your AI versus my AI in terms of note-taking, right? And maybe we'll find that there's a marginal difference between one or the other. My gut feeling is they're both going to be perfectly adequate and
I don't think there's enough value missing between one or the other to justify one or the other over each other. It's just going to be down to user interface and what you like.
And maybe
your ecosystem.
Yeah, maybe more convenient, right? Like, I do like the feature where I don't have to press record or anything. I can set it up automatically as long as I've given the person that they know that it's going to happen. But there is that, it's not up to me to remember to do that sort of thing, right? Like, I like that feature. I like that. That's going to be convenient, right?
Yeah, my biggest bugbear at the moment with the Plaid Note, and I'll cover this in my review video at some point, is it used to be you press the button, and then after an hour, it would stop and start a new recording because it could only handle recording an hour at a time, which was annoying when you had 1 hour, 5 minute meetings, 1 hour, 10 minute meetings. You know, that last bit where actually the action points are being agreed to, that really needs to be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've upped that limit now through a software update to 5 hours. Problem there is you've got to make sure you remember to turn the bloody thing off.
Otherwise, it knows what you've had for
meeting.
Breakfast and
that's it. And then you've got another 5 bleeding calls and stuff all on the same transcript, at which point you've knackered it because you've got to, it then summarizes an action points based on 5 hours worth of, it's like, oh, that's broken, that never mind. So yeah, the pros and cons, definitely pros and cons, but I don't see Copilot being any better than ChatGPT at the moment. ChatGPT, I just don't understand. I don't think it's got the ability. To be fair, I don't think if I went to another accountant and put a profit and loss in front of them, if that's all I gave them for a company they've never heard of before, never looked at before, I said, analyze that for me. No accountant or bookkeeper can do that for me.
No, exactly.
Not in a deep level. So why would ChatGPT or Copilot be able to do it if it's not got the data? Whereas Intuit Assist, SIF Analytics, all these reporting tools that can go right down to the granular, we know how you spent every penny, we're always going to be able to come back and go, right, you spent 10 grand on software last year. Here's how you spent it. You just give a high-level P&L to a software, it was going, cool. You spent 10 grand on software because it doesn't have the data behind it.
No, exactly right. Yeah.
So,
where as you rightly said, Intuit Assist should have the know-how to be able to look into that data properly.
It's got the data, right? Like Xenon,
and it knows what that data means.
Has the granular data. So if Xenon ever plugged in an AI to help power its bookkeeping scores even more, then it would be able to do a far better job than Copilot or ChatGPT or whatever Chrome are calling theirs at the moment. Like, it just, is it Gemini? Yeah, Gemini. Like, it can crap in, crap out. Like, if you're only giving it surface information, it can only analyze that surface information. So, for my setup and my system, I don't see how Copilot can really help me. Like, I'm using Spark email at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And it summarizes emails for me. It's meant to be helping me make responses so things are quicker. Complete waste of time. It's just not good enough. Like, yeah, it summarizes an email for me, but actually I'm not bleeding good at reading long emails and just picking it, like skimming through it and picking out the key parts myself. I don't need AI.
Yeah.
And then replying, I've yet to have a single reply auto-generated where I can go, yeah, that looks right.
Yeah.
Like, in theory, I could reply to LinkedIn posts using AI with their new LinkedIn AI tool. I can now do it in Facebook groups on my Facebook phone app. Someone posts on, say, the client engager group. In theory, I can click the AI button and it will generate a reply. I've done it a few times and it's absolute garbage.
Yeah. And if you're anything like me, the first thing you do is take it to Grammarly anyway. So, because you don't trust your own spelling. So it's like,
The only AI I'm using completely successfully at the moment is the Plaid Explored note, where it listens to the whole meeting or yep. phone call, it transcribes it all for me, and it summarizes all the points for me. That means I've got a full transcription, the audio recording, and the summary to go into Client Engager against that client meeting, which means my whole team can technically listen into that if they wanted to. And Grammarly.
Yeah.
And to be fair, even Grammarly, like, it's great at spelling and stuff, but it's very rare, unless someone's really pissed me off and I have to go, this email's going to cause upset. I'm going to have to copy this email that I want to send, put it into Grammarly and tell it to make it PC. They're the only times I'm using AI properly and fully at the moment. That's
for content. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like it adding emojis every now and again to a LinkedIn post or whatever, like, saves me having to go through and figure out what emoji I should do and to make it more, you know, engaging and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, apart from that, I agree. Yeah. And obviously spell check is a huge part of it. But we will keep you a day. That's what we're here for, right? We're gonna try all these things and for our sins and yeah. let's put it this way. If there was an opportunity to get my money back, I'd have already got my money back. That's my first initial reaction to it. Okay, cool. A quick one, bit of a public service announcement as we are already over time. Do have a look at the Top 100 Pro Advisor Awards. So if you have the opportunity, go ahead and look at voting for that one. There's LinkedIn posts about it all over the place. Look at Ash Beeston or Clive Hands. They're both pushing theirs at the moment. So go over there and give those guys some support. It's a really good award for people who are in the know with QuickBooks. Highly recommend it. I've already casted my vote into the mix. I did mine, what was it, last week, something like that. And highly recommend everyone to just give some support to some of our community members. So Clive himself, who's always normally on the chat here, definitely do give him some support. He's the one who normally tells us about anything that's happening in the world of Ireland or anything that we should have some notes. It was always good to see. But yeah, if you have an opportunity, please do go and put the awards in there. Fantastic. Matt, really, really sorry, but we are coming to the end of today, but we'll keep that for next week. So tune in next week and we will talk about that there. So we'll make sure we cover your point in there, the topic, but we need to wrap today up. So Jan, anything that people should be excited about for this week from yourself? I have to say, if you haven't already, go and watch his latest video on which cameras should be there. Even gets a little cheeky look at some of my equipment in that one. So yeah, highly recommend going to watch that video. But anything that people should be looking forward to from yourself this week?
I'll do an update on the Plaud Note this ready for this weekend's video. I'll do that. So, okay. But yeah, if you're curious as to how Aaron and I do a lot of our video capture, and how we come up with our video content, as it were, it'd be worth having a watch of that video I did over the weekend. It just shows you which cameras I'm using for what. As I said in the video, it's nothing. This stuff's nothing compared to what Aaron and I use on like the podcast pit stops and stuff. That's all really high end kit, but it'll get you started. That's for sure. Ultimately, the spoiler at the end of the video is actually you don't need any of it. So, but go have a look at why you don't need any of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I highly recommend it. It was a good, well put together video. It's a good thing. And if people want it, more than happy to do a deep dive into AccountX on what equipment we use there. So we could do That'd one for that one as well. Yeah. So yeah, we can kind of see what else you could put in if you wanted to push it forward. If you
want to. What have you got coming up this week, Aaron?
I'm actually off to my Manchester office, I like to call it now. So off to Manchester tomorrow, to Brewdog. Nice. So yeah, Chrissy's got a meeting in Manchester, so we thought we'd make the most of it. Head over to Brewdog. We're taking the puppy as well. So I'm looking forward to working from Brewdog tomorrow and Wednesday. But really this week is all about getting ahead of the 2024 tax year. So yeah, and we want to see kit videos. So already we've got a tick for that. So yeah, we will definitely, behind the scenes of how we're going to do AccountX, seems to be a good one to do. We just need to make sure we give ourselves enough time to do it right, because we're just running around like a blue beep fly most of the time during these, because we're still learning ourselves how all this works, right? So yeah, we'll figure out one way or another. Right, thank you everybody. I'm sorry we've gone over a little bit over today, but great to see everybody again. Matt, we'll make sure we bring your thing into next week's show, but for everyone else, hope you all have a fantastic week. We look forward to seeing you bright and early next Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. as always, for another exciting episode of Ask the Accountant. Cheers everybody, and we will see you all soon.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.